Ramsey TV.
Good morning, one and all, friends, fans, and foes. Well, I hope there aren't too many foes watching, but if they are, I hope they're learning something. This is Martin Zender. Yes, I am at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula to distinguish it from other peninsulas, such as the Korean Peninsula, for example. Now, you're all wanting me to tell you about the conference. Yes, I would absolutely love to tell you about the conference, but I have not been there yet. Yeah, that's right. I am playing a time game with you, my friends. I apologize for that, but I had to make a show ahead of time. I'm making the show on Friday, actually, before the conference. Haven't been there yet. So, now, if I were God, which I'm not, in case anybody got confused, I could play these little time games, because, you know, according to Christians, God's not really in control of everything. What he does, he's in his time, just like I'm here in my time. But God, see, he looks into the future with a giant telescope, and he sees what's going to happen. It's still up to you, of course, according to the Christian tradition, because everybody knows we must protect free will. But how do we do that if God knows things ahead of time? Oh, I know. We'll play a time game where God is back in God time, and he looks with a giant telescope into the future. Ooh, look at all those people out there. Ooh, looks like some of them are believing in me. Some of them aren't. Ooh, let me get my notepad out and my pen, and let me make a note of who's believing in me and who's not believing in me. Well, okay, let's wait and see. Ooh, there's a guy believing in me. Oh, I'm gonna designate him beforehand. Why? Because I saw him believe in me. Come on, that's a time game, baby. That's not going to work. It's not going to fly with people who think. God designates people beforehand, before the thing happens. Before the thing happens. It happens because he designates it. He doesn't designate it beforehand because it happens. That was very smart of me to say that, I think. I think that really sounded good to me. Can I repeat it? I don't know. God designates people beforehand, before the thing happens. Before the thing happens. It happens because he designates it. He doesn't designate it beforehand because it happens. That was very smart of me to say that, I think. I think that really sounded good to me. So let's forge ahead in Romans chapter 11. We left off with this great secret, and I wish more people knew this secret. You folks know this secret, thank God. It is, Paul says, I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren. Now, whenever Paul uses the word secret, it means that what you're about to read was never revealed before. And here it is. I'm not ignorant. No, I'm not. Paul's not ignorant. He didn't want them to be ignorant. I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part, allowing for the remnant, on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. Now, it would have been nice if Paul had said, until the snatching away of the body of Christ, as I wrote to the Thessalonians. No, he's not that specific, but what else is the complement of the nations, the completion of the nations coming into their appointed lot and destiny. The filling of the nations. This can't mean the cutting off of the nations, which Paul just talked about, that some will be lopped off because of unbelief. That's not the complement of the nations. That's not the filling of the nations. In my mind, this can only be the snatching away of the body of Christ when Paul's ministry to the nations is completed. Because as I told you, it may seem like a shocking thing to say, but it's nonetheless true. There's a finite number of people in the body of Christ. And when the last member of the body of Christ comes in to the fold, then the nations are filled up. That is the whole reason God went to the other nations in the first place. The whole reason that the nations, all the nations besides Israel, are now running the world in the stead of Israel. The only reason he did that, the only reason he put Israel on the side temporarily and did this, is so he can call out, legitimately call out a group of people who are not Israelites. And he's perfectly justified in doing it because his earthly people are on hold. Whenever Israel's like at the forefront doing their thing, it's all about the earth. It's all about their priority over earth. But as soon as she's off the table, then God can conduct some fun little enterprises with people who are not going to be on the earth, but who will be taken to realms celestial. Because I remind you, Ephesians 2:6, he seats us among the celestials, among the celestials. You'll never see that word anywhere else combined with celestials except in Paul, among the celestials. Why is it that every time I start a show, I feel this need to sneeze? I go all morning, and I don't feel any need to sneeze. I turn on this microphone, and it's sneaking up on me. Oh, now it just went away. That's fantastic. So here it is. Callousness in part on Israel's come until the complement of the nations may be entering. And thus, after this happens, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. This whole salvation of this context, going back to the beginning of Romans 11, is what I call... it's an according as it is written salvation. This is an according as it is written salvation. Remember, we are told by some people that the remnant of Romans 11 that Paul offers as proof that God has not thrust away his people, that remnant, some people say, no, that Martin, that's an uncircumcision remnant. These are Israelites who jumped onto Paul's ship, and they've abandoned their national calling. And as I said several weeks ago, how in the world would that prove that God hasn't thrust away Israel? That's your exhibit A. My exhibit A that God has not thrust away Israel is the fact that some Israelites completely abandoned their calling and came into my gospel. That is absurd. The only way this passage makes sense is if the remnant are circumcision believers. And Paul says, in the current era, there has come to be a remnant according to the choice of grace. Therefore, putting my deductive powers, my powers of reasoning to great effect, I have stated that if this is the condition in the current era, and if there must be a remnant always, so nobody can accuse God of having thrust away his people, then there are people today who legitimately believe in the circumcision gospel. So this just verifies what I said concerning the earlier parts of Romans 11. Thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. This can't be the gospel of the uncircumcision, because that was never written to them. It's according as it is written. And then Paul proceeds to quote the Hebrew scriptures. This is the salvation he has in mind the whole time, for Israel to come into their calling. And the remnant are those who have stayed true to their calling, not a different calling. How else could it be said here in verse 26 that, and thus all Israel shall be saved? Oh, you mean into the body of Christ? No, saved according as it is written, and here's the quote, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. Oh, here's one. Here's a little shot into the hull of the preterist battleship, of the God is done with Israel battleship, of the there is no kingdom battleship. There is no 1,000-year kingdom with Jerusalem as the head and that battleship. No, here's a torpedo that goes right into that battleship strategically so that it wrecks all the critical elements of the battleship, including the wall that keeps the water out, and boom, 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 the thing sinks. This, whenever I should be eliminating their sins. When in Israel's history have their sins ever been eliminated? They're still a stubborn and stiff-necked people. Whenever I should be eliminating their sins, that is the practice of their sins. Somebody can make the case, well, Christ took away the sins of the world at the cross. Yes, but we're not talking about that here. We're talking about the elimination of those things that they are doing. Kind of like us. I always say that, you know, we were crucified with Christ, that this body of sin may be nullified. The body of sin, that is this leftover thing that's behind my revelation that I died with Christ and then I'm and then I'm justified. Someday this body will be made immortal, and then it won't be able to sin. Paul's talking about a people who's continuously sinning, and he has already rehearsed that in Romans 10. Do you remember what he said in Romans 10? He talks about Israel seeking to establish her own righteousness. They were not subject to the righteousness of God. Ooh, that's a big sin. But that's those sins are going to be eliminated. Why? How? When? Please, one question at a time. How? By bringing in the new covenant. Why? Because the old covenant was designed not to work. When? It's going to happen at the end of this eon, during the day of indignation, during the tribulation, during the great affliction, when he restores his covenant with them. He doesn't restore it. He brings a new covenant. And we read in Jeremiah, he puts his law on their hearts, turns their heart of stone into a heart of flesh. It's going to be juicy, juicy, juicy times. Going to love it. I love it. I love it just thinking about it. Don't come to be for prudent. Don't come to be for prudent in your own mind. I say this to those people who think that God's done with Israel because they're all high and mighty right now. Remember what I told you? You might be high and mighty as far as your personal salvation that you've come to realize what Christ did for you at the cross. But don't let that trick you into thinking that God's done with Israel. You can thank God that he put Israel on the back burner. Paul said this in this chapter. I'm just reviewing here. You have a calling now because God temporarily cast Israel aside. The gospel came to you because of their disobedience. Well, here it is. Verse 28, as to the evangel, indeed, they are enemies because of you. Wow, there it is. As to the evangel, our evangel, they are enemies. God made them enemies. God made them to be sinners. God made them to be stubborn, stiff-necked, and self-righteous because of you. So that a new message could come in there while they are apostate. That's just the way God does it. He waits until this is done to start this thing. That's just the way he does it. It overlapped a little bit in Acts. It's overlapping again right now. I'm going to do a show on that. I'm going to show you how Israel and the body of Christ is overlapping just as it overlapped in the first century. That's going to be a great show. No, I'm not a prophet. I'm just going with the law of averages. So, as to the evangel, indeed, they are enemies because of you. Yet as to the choice, they are beloved because of the fathers. Here we go with the fathers again. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because of choice, they are beloved. Whose choice? God's choice. I started this show by saying God does not look through the great telescope of time. Ooh, looks like Israel's going to eventually get their act together. No, it's impossible for them until he brings that new covenant in and puts his spirit within them. It's going to be not a very gentlemanly act. God's not going to say, oh, excuse me, you mind if I bring the new covenant in? I can't do it without your permission because you have a free will. I guess if you don't want the new covenant, if you don't want your heart of stone turned to a heart of flesh, what can I do? My hands are tied. Kind of makes it hard to look through my telescope of time. Oh, God, what a sicko God. Now, because of choice. Whose choice? God's choice. God chose Israel. One F up after the other. One Charlie Foxtrot after another. And yet, in the fullness of times, just like in the fullness of times, the Messiah came. In the fullness of times, God completes what he started with Israel. As to choice, they are beloved because of the fathers. Yes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob belong to the root of the tree. They were good guys, and they weren't always... Jacob, whose name was turned to Israel, wasn't always a good guy. These guys had their faults, they had their flaws, as we all do, but God chose these men. They're the patriarchs, they're the big boys, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God has not forgotten them, and they are beloved. The whole nation is beloved because if the root is holy, the boughs are holy, even though they've been temporarily lopped off. They're going to be grafted back on. That's going to happen soon, but it can't happen until we, the body of Christ, are snatched away.